Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, right? You're supposed to say right!
Oh, sorry, right, we'll do it again. Do it again, I've forgotten.
We did that once, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. But yeah, it was so long ago, I'd forgotten. I knew there was something I had to come back with, but I wasn't sure what it was.
It would be obvious.
Yeah.
This is Top Flight Time Machine, right?
Right!
I'm Andy Covered Body Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
And I am Sam, not feeling too nifty Delaney.
Yeah, it's going to be a Life Logistics episode, this one. We've got a few that have come in. There's one that came in on the international Twitter service this morning after we put out what I believe they call a shout-out on there. And this is from Mrs. E. Valentine, or MZ Bobs, as she calls herself. Mrs. Valentine, was that a TV show? That sounds like a TV show.
Shirley Valentine.
Mrs. Valentine. Shirley Valentine was a film, yeah. Mrs. Valentine sounds like it was a... I don't know. Maybe it should be. Maybe we should write it.
Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, we've got a title, something in it. Mrs. Valentine, Mrs. E. Valentine says, this is quite a small logistical problem. That's fine. No problem too small for our tiny minds. I consistently have an issue opening up and serving Weetabix without all the flaky bits going all over the worktop. Is this just me? Surely they need to redesign the packaging. Thank you. I deal with this because I have Weetabix quite often. One of the first things that I said on the first episode of Athletico Mince, way back, was that I have a love for Weetabix with butter on it. And this appalled Bob and continues to appall him, I think. But I swear by it.
But how did you come up with the idea?
It was given to me as a child. It's a family tradition. And it's not just us that does it. Apparently there's a Facebook fucking page devoted to buttered Weetabix because there are aficionados all across the land. And maybe we get together in secret in the woods during the summer months and swap tips.
I mean, there's people who put butter in coffee, isn't there? We've talked about that before. I think they call it bulletproof coffee.
Butter is one of nature's greatest fucking miracles, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it's not even bad for you. It's just scam. Like, you know, remember I told you big wheat and big cereal and big sugar have tried to undermine butter and tell us all that it's bad for us, but it's fucking not.
It's not. It's the best. And
I tell you what's bad for you, all those fucking flora and all the margarine ones that are they use vegetable oil for. That's what's bad for you.
Yeah. Here's another thing. You remember we were talking about big water and the bottled water industry and all that, getting us all to drink and fucking hydrate and all this sort of thing. I was reading a thing the other day on the BBC website, so I'd like to think it's fairly legitimate. And it was saying what you should drink to rehydrate yourself after exercise when you've been sweating. And the answer was milk.
Oh, milk, no way. I'm never doing that.
I know you've got an aversion to milk, but because you lose, when you sweat and you exercise, you don't just lose fluids, you lose salt as well. And milk has got salt in it. And it's got the right vitamins to replenish you, whereas water will just replace you with water.
Milk's so you're missing got out. Salt in it?
Yeah, apparently.
Unbelievable.
Well, butter's got salt in it as well, isn't it? So it's from the same thing. It's from the same cow.
Yeah, but you add salt to butter when you're making it, not like...
I'm
because you get unsalted butter, salted butter.
I'm just telling you what I read in an article that I glanced over for a couple of minutes while I was waiting for you to come on the line yesterday.
You know, my brother, Theo, when he goes to visit, I don't know if he still does this, but when he goes to visit his in-laws, who are really nice, in-laws who are so nice that, like, I really like them, even though they're not my in-laws. I invited them to my wedding.
I was going to say, you tried to adopt them as, like, surrogate in-laws, in-laws by proxy.
I did. I've been on holiday with them. I mean, obviously, not just me and them. Obviously, my brother's been there too, and his missus. But they're that amazing that you kind of just... Yeah, you just, it's like a bonus that he's got particularly great in-laws and everyone else wants a piece of them.
Yeah.
But they live out in Suffolk in a small village. And when he goes to visit them, right? I mean, imagine this, right? My brother's commercials director, right, from that London. They are nice folk from Essex and they're now of Suffolk, right? Really, like, nice people you'd ever meet. And he gets on with them well. But I don't think it would have gone down that well with it when he first came to stay at their house, when he was first courting their daughter. Mm. He would bring his own butter.
Fucking hell.
I'm not fucking joking. Well, you've met his wife, haven't you?
She's lovely
down-to-earth woman, right?
Yeah.
And he would bring his own butter to her parents' house. Because he didn't care for the spreadables that they stocked in their
house. That is pure Seinfeld. That's a George Costanza move. That is.
It is. I mean, it is. It's quite out of character with him, but it is one of the most amazing cunt moves of all time, isn't it? And don't forget, he's the same brother who fell victim to the 40 quid wanker Christmas manoeuvre.
Yeah.
From, not his parents-in-law, but still from that side of the family, right? And I sort of feel
Just remind us again.
The 40 quid wanker thing.
Yeah.
40
for
quid
people
cunt.
Who haven't heard it.
Well, it was his birthday. It's his birthday on New Year, and we were away last year. And his brother-in-law and sister-in-law, they weren't there, but they'd given via the parents, like, a card to say, I'll give that to Theo if you see him on his birthday. And he opens it up, and there's 40 quid in it, right? And I could see his face trying to compute the 40 quid, because he's a man in his 50s, and this is a gift from another man in his 50s, a man and a woman in their 50s, and 40 quid's 40 quid, it's nice, it's generous. But at the same time, 40 quid is neither so small that it's a joke and you're taking the piss. Like, if you gave your mate a tenner for his birthday, it'd still be funny, wouldn't it, at our age, right?
Yeah.
But neither is it sort of enough for it to feel like this is... I can't explain it, but it's basically slightly patronising, right?
It's like the biting point of a clutch, isn't it? It's on that cusp of
it is.
Being a piss take.
Exactly,
not.
Because 50 quid... I mean, 50 quid, I'm fucking delighted with 50 quid.
50 quid!
I reckon even fucking, what's his name, Jeff Bezos himself, right? If he gets given 50 quid cash, that's walking around money, and you can never fucking underestimate the power of cash, right? Someone hands you 50 fucking notes, right? You are fucking yes, mate.
I feel like a king.
Here we fucking go. I'm like Ray Liotta in Goodfellas. I've fucking got notes, I'm dishing them out to maitre d's and waiters all over the gaff, right? Poking tenors in people's top pockets just to thank them, right? But 40 quid, it's like, it's just 40 quid.
Yeah.
40 quid. Is that for me to get my weekly groceries with?
What's the message
40
here?
Quid. Yeah. And they made him a 40 quid cunt. Now, I felt at the time he handled it well, but I thought to myself, no one wants to be a 40 quid cunt. And they've made him a 40 quid cunt. Then I thought to myself, but why? Why would they make my brother... who is a great guy, right? He is a great guy. Why would they want to make him a 40 quid cunt, right? Because that is a major power play, right?
It is.
Then I thought to myself, it's because of the butter. The bloke turned up for the first 10 years of knowing them with his own butter around their mum and dad's house, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't say anything, but they remembered. They fucking remembered, right? And they stored it up. And they thought one day... he's going to pay for bringing his own fucking butter, right?
I mean, call me a petty man, but I always say revenge is definitely a dish best served cold. And yeah. I have a list of people I still haven't got around to dealing with, but I will from years ago. And it'll be glorious.
That fucker at the video shop who fucking did you over yeah, that, like, minor receipt discrepancy for starters.
Yes, that petty, yes. But,
So, you know, and so I think that's why he got turned into a 40 quid cunt. And, you know, I don't know whether he regrets the butter thing or whether he still does it. Who knows? But I'm pretty sure I don't know what they stopped, but I'm guessing it was like margarine, right? Because a lot of people do like margarine because it's mainly because it's easier to spread, right? But I got to tell you, Andy, and you're not going to like this, it wouldn't have just been Lurpak butter. He would have taken that one, Le Président, which is the French one.
Ooh, Euro butter.
That's what we're... That's the sort of... That's the kind of antics we're talking about.
The fucking metropolitan elite.
He fucking grew up on an estate in Brentford, but suddenly he's like, I've got to have me Le President. If not, I shan't be able to function until I've had me President.
Fucking Adland butter.
Exactly. Oh. Fucking advertising butter cunt. There you go. There's 40 quid. Buy yourself a butter cunt.
Buy yourself a packet of butter. So much.
That's what they should have written in the card. Yeah, you sell fucking plenty of butter with that, won't you, cunt?
So much to think about there. Yeah. But the question isn't about butter, it was about Weetabix. And I just said that I enjoyed buttered Weetabix. Butter played a huge part in my childhood. McVitie's digestive biscuits, quite plain, quite dry. Not when you spread some butter on them. Oh! I tell you, man, it was
you're
butter
right. I mean,
everywhere.
Butter is an incredible thing, and I eat it every day.
Mm.
I've like since I discovered that it wasn't even bad for you. I'm going to try some not Weetabix. I just don't like Weetabix. I don't like cereal. I'm just not a cereal kind of a person. But yeah, but I'm up for trying butter out on all. I mean, it's one of those things. It can go with anything, can't it? Sweet or savoury. Yeah,
it can enhance anything pretty much. The last couple of boxes of Weetabix I've had, though, they've been a little bit not quite as crunchy as they were. I don't know if they've changed the recipe or the consistency or what, but they felt a little bit more soft to eat raw, as I like to do. Won't make any difference when you put some milk on them and heat it up, I imagine. But for the buttered Weetabix aficionados among us, of which I am probably Britain's leading one, the consistency at the minute isn't great. I'll see how it pans out. I might make overtures towards Weetabix and see if I can get them to restore the original recipe.
Is this a daytime snack or is it something you have for breakfast?
It's a breakfast. It can be a lunchtime snack. It's for any time, Sam.
Anytime.
It's a nice, quick, easy filling snack. And I'm sure there are some people who are feeling nauseous right now just listening to this because the reaction whenever I talk about it is always quite divided. But fuck you, basically.
What I would say is that if it involves butter, I'm listening.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'll give it a go.
But I will give it a go if it involves butter, apart, not necessarily in a sexual context. I mean, only eating or whatever. Talking of refreshment logistics,
we haven't dealt with the query yet.
Oh yeah, what's that one?
Because I do have an answer. Mrs. Valentine has an issue opening up and serving Weetabix without the flaky bits going all over the worktop. Now what I do, obviously, you tear down the paper, the outer wrapper paper to the level of the Weetabix biscuit you want to get out. Gently prise it out onto a plate or into a bowl, and then almost like a game from, let's say, It's a Knockout, I'll then walk with the packet across to the bin without spilling any of it, because it's very spillable. Those crumbs can go everywhere. So I'll walk gently, gingerly across to the bin, open the bin lid and just gently filter it out. All the crumbs that are in there, filter them into the bin so that next time you get some Weetabix out, you don't have all them crumbs to deal with. Simple as that.
My alternative solution is the same solution to anything like this in the kitchen. Do it over the fucking sink. If I could eat all my meals, snacks, drinks and everything over the sink, I would. Because then you just take away the jeopardy. And if you want to double down on that, and this is something my son goes in for quite a lot, take your top off before eating or drinking anything. Yeah. Take your top off and do it over the sink. That's what he loves to do. And, I can't knock him for it because it works. It's like, at the moment, mate, it's peach and nectarine season. But don't try one of those fuckers unless you're over a sink because you'll regret it.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to be really careful. I love the nectarines, but you've got to be so careful.
Just don't fuck around. Don't tell yourself, maybe I can get away with this in front of the telly, right?
Yeah.
Just get real, right? You want to enjoy the nectarine. They're only around for a few months a year, right? The good ones. Mm. So enjoy it. Take the anxiety away from nectarines because there's a lot of anxiety that surround things like that. Eat it over the sink. Take your T-shirt off. You'll enjoy it all the more and because you won't be bothered by the fucking potential mess.
Just get a washing up bowl, drill a couple of holes in each side and a piece of strong twine and just wear that round your neck and you can eat anywhere with a washing up bowl around your neck.
I meant to ask you about that actually, mate. Where do you get your twine from?
Off the internet. UKtwine.com.
Oh yeah, they do.
I buy
cheap,
my twine British these days since Brexit. I used to get German twine.
The German twine's the strongest. But the fucking now import they put tariffs on now. It.
Fucking nightmare getting it into the country. I mean, I think there's like an underground twine importation operation going on, but you need to know the right people.
And, you can go down to like Cornwall to like a secret cove where some Germans come in at night time once a week with like whole fucking massive reels of twine and they just snip it off you there and then for cash.
I mean, it reminds me of that old alien comedy, Twine Galore, which is about the twine smuggling. That's a brilliant
film,
that.
Tons of the stuff.
Jalapeño.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Next question. I've got one here also on the UK Twitter service. It's coming from Danny Merritt. He says, can you replace the wheels on a wheel suitcase, two-wheel variety? Is he asking us specifically if we can do it for him?
Nah.
No.
Well, that's a really easy answer for me. No.
He says, one of the wheels got jammed and has been filed down into an almost triangular shape. Should I just buy another suitcase instead? I reckon you can replace the wheels on a wheel suitcase, but there's so many different sizes of wheels. I don't think there's like a generic size.
It's not universal. I mean? There's different brands. That's why sometimes it is good to go for the leading brand like Samsonite.
Yeah.
Because Samsonite will have standardized wheels and they'll also probably have a service that you can send it off to. Or buy from a recognised trader like John Lewis, who we talk about a lot on this show.
Yeah.
And not just because they had that sexy managing director who turned out to be the sister of my mate.
Whoa.
Remember? Do you remember sexy John Lewis, MD?
Do remember that now, yeah. I remember Googling her as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Her sister got in touch and went, oi, I heard you've been talking about my sister. And I went, no, I haven't. She went, yes, you have. My sister's the MD of John Lewis. I went, oh, yeah, the fit one. She went, stop talking about it. I said, I'm only fucking saying that she's fit.
Well, she is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my fault she's fit.
Jesus.
And John Lewis are, end of the day, you can get cheaper, but, you know, as you always say, buy cheap, buy twice. You go to John Lewis, you're going to get a good service. And if the wheels go fucked on your Samsonite or whatever it is, if you take it back to John Lewis, they will fucking help you. They'll go, we'll help you with that, mate. Leave it with us. Come back in a couple of days. We'll have new wheels on it.
Yeah, I mean, you could try taking it to your local cobbler. Your local cobbler might be able to do something with it. Are we drinking out of the same mug today, Sam? Look at that.
Fucking hell, that's weird. We are. Look at that.
Well, I mean, it's the Star Wars Darth Vader one because it's bigger than your average tea mug, isn't it? You get more in.
Yeah, it's a great pod-in mug. That's why I picked it out. Because I thought we could be recording two episodes. I'm going to get out the big mug.
Yeah, of course.
Does your wheelie suitcase fall under the jurisdiction of the DVLA in Swansea? Because it is a wheeled vehicle.
It might be. Do you need a license to operate it in the street?
Yeah, so call up the DVLA and ask them what your nearest suitcase MOT provider is, and then just take it in, and they'll do the wheels, and they'll look at the other things like the zips and stuff.
I mean, I don't know if you can replace them. I would look into it, Danny. I would get on eBay, and I would see what wheels are available separately, and I would try and do it yourself. It can't be that hard. Replacing a wheel and a suitcase, I don't think. It comes into the category of like the repair shop and similar shows, which are hugely popular at the minute. But I was listening to the Word in Your Ear podcast with David Hepworth and Mark Allen the other day, and they were bemoaning the repair shop, where they were saying it's now become more and more about the story behind the object that people bring in. And there's always floods of tears at the end whenever the thing's restored.
And it's like, the wheel. Granddad
fixed the wheel. Would
be looking down from heaven.
Granddad would have loved to have seen this if he'd lived to see his old little rag doll be restored back to full capacity.
And you know, like, Granddad sat up in heaven watching this going, would I fuck? I have got no memory whatsoever of that fucking piece of crap.
If there's one thing they teach us on day one in evidence, there's no room for fucking sentiment. You just get on with it. You're here forever. Just fucking get on with it.
Enjoy it. Right. You're basically in the best fucking spa hotel all inclusive of your life. Or your death, I suppose. And if you're going to sit around fucking wondering about what some dollar you owned when you were alive 60 years ago, then you're going to ruin a fucking wonderful opportunity. It's like when you go on holiday, but you keep thinking about shit at home. It's a waste of time. Yeah. Same as when you're dead.
Yeah, of course. I mean, call me a cunt, but I'd like to see a bit more jeopardy on the repair shop. I'd like to see, once the thing has been restored back to its former glory, I'd then like to see a toss of a coin at the end to decide whether they get to keep it or whether it gets smashed up in front of their eyes.
Or sold. If they had less competent... What about less competent menders? So rather than, you know, all those really good menders, they had like people like me and you. And it's like, Sam has been asked to restore this antique dolly that has a huge sentimental value and has been in the family for generations. Will he be able to do it or not? I've fucked this. I have fucked it straight away. Sorry, I'd burnt it. Why? Well, I thought I could solder the stitching. But apparently you can't solder stitching, so it set fire and it's full of like molten molten metal now. So it's just fucked.
I put some oil in it and that didn't help either. It's like, and there's like a wheel of competency. So they spin the wheel and you decide which mender you get at the start of the show.
Yeah, and at the bottom it's like
the pros, Blobby. It could be us.
Oh no, you've got Blobby. Blobby's going to mend your suitcase for you.
Oh God, I'd love to see that.
And then Blobby just suddenly fucking clambers into the studio, picks up the suitcase, starts flinging it around.
Did we answer that question then? I don't really know. Don't know, mate. Sometimes there's not an answer.
Michael Goodill wants a mattress advisor. Mattresses, of course, are one of our specialist areas, particularly Andy's. So no wonder he's got in touch. Salutations, chaps. My 9-year-old son is complaining his mattress feels like a rock. Well, my first thing is, well, fuck him, he's 9. Do you know what I mean? I'm not... 9-year-old doesn't get... If he's got... He's lucky to have a bed. I tried the old, here you go, here's a foam topper. In my head, it was in the vein of Roy Race. But it did not appease him. I still don't like it. It's still too hard. As he was already hankering for a new mattress ever since seeing the Emma ad. I need a medium soft single for a nocturnally sweaty boy with a hot body. I'm not being a tight ass, but I don't really want to spend more than 150 quid. Logistics be good. Laters, Mike. I mean, a single mattress is not something that...
It's out of our range. But, I mean, all the mattresses that we've kind of used, they all come in various shapes and sizes, so you can get a single. I use the Otti mattress, but I don't know if you'd get a single one for 150.
So what mattress is it that Premier Inn use again? Didn't you research this?
I can't remember, but you used to be able to buy them directly from the Premier Inn site, or it would send you on a link to a third-party site where you could buy the Premier Inn mattress. But again, I don't know about prices. When it came to the Otti, and like, I mean, I've said this before, when it comes to your bed, spend the equivalent of what you'd spend on a weekend away.
Mm.
Because, you know, your bed is never scrimp. A huge part of your life.
Well, they say, don't they, when you buy an engagement ring, they say it should be the equivalent of a month's wages.
They say that, right? Yeah. Yeah, they
Which worked well for me because I was freelance. So I go, it's been a bit of a tight month, to be honest.
He's a beef hula hoop, put this on.
I think it's the same with your bed, you know?
Mm.
In fact, with a bed, think about exactly. A year's wages if you can get one that expensive, because there's nothing more important in your life than your mattress.
Yeah, yeah.
But this, of course, isn't for you. It's for a nine-year-old boy, and I think he's being a bit particular. I mean, put it this way, right? When I was fucking nine, right, there was a mattress that I had. I slept on the same bed that my mum had when she was a little girl, right?
Yeah.
This bed had just followed us, right, for years, and everyone had slept on this bed. But it's the same mat, not just the same frame, same fucking mattress. So what, we're talking about a mattress that dated back to the 40s, yeah?
Yeah.
One morning, I knew it was fucked. It was all soft and sagging in the middle. It was a right state. But when you're a kid, you just think, well, we didn't even know that there was different types of mattresses, did we?
We didn't even buy mattresses. You just thought you'd had one and that was it.
Just thought they just existed.
Given out by the government.
I thought they were natural, like grass or plants. Yeah. Right? Well, they just grew in houses. Right? But listen, right? This is no lie. One morning, my mate Joe always remembers this. He was staying over. We had two. I shared a room. Nominally, I shared a bedroom with QPR terrace legend Castellani. Right? But he never seemed to be home. So really, it was my room, but he did have a bed in the room. And so if I had a mate staying over, they'd sleep in QPR legend Castellani's bed, right? So my mate Joe's asleep in that bed. I'm asleep in my bed. And he is woken up by me suddenly going, fuck it out, top of my voice, shouting the house down. I was about 12, right? And he's going, what? And I shouted the immortal words, someone stabbed me in the arse, right? Fucking old metal spring had burst through the mattress membrane after all these years, right? It had survived Hitler, this fucking mattress, right? And it stabbed me right in my buttock, right? I jumped off of the bed, my mum comes in, I'm naked, there is blood pissing out of my fucking ass cheek.
Oh! Right?
Yeah. But my mum sort of had to clean it up and like put a load of fucking plaster and bandaging over it. I never got a stitch. As a result, I now have a really like messy looking scar on my ass.
Messy ass. Sam messy ass Delaney.
Mother, why couldn't we have had it stitched so it could have looked neat?
Shut up, no one's fucking looking at your ass. If they are, they shouldn't be.
I've got a bed scar on my ass, mate. So that was me when I was nine. So you should tell your kid, listen, right? Show him, play him the history of the bed that we did on, I think on History Box last year. We did the history of the bed, right? And then that will give your son insight to the circumstances in which some people have had to sleep over the years.
Exactly.
Like cavemen. Right, they just did it on a load of leaves and branches and dust, yeah. And say, look, once you get to 16, then we'll start talking about mattresses. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I have one question. When the spring burst out from the mattress, did it go
right into my ass? What I'm thinking about now, I'm thinking I should have. I mean, why my mum didn't take me to hospital? Because also, quite aside from the stitching, I should have had a fucking tetanus. I mean, that's an old fucking rusty spring that's been in a bed for years.
Yeah.
I mean, my arse could have been tetanused.
that mattress, no disrespect to your mum or your family, but that mattress could have been full of like mites,
yeah.
dust mites, yeah. Mice. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows what was going on in there? So
didn't
yeah,
Kevin definitely. Keegan have a mouse in a mattress. He did,
I think it's
he?
I don't know. I think it's episode one of Mrs. Valentine, isn't it? She's got a mouse in the mattress.
A mouse in the episode one. A mouse in the mattress.
That's all we've got time for because I've got fucking COVID for fuck's sake. I can't be doing this all day long. The snooker's on soon. Thanks very much for your logistical queries. Keep them coming in and we'll try and get around to all of them eventually. Goodbye.
All the best.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.